Hey, Toby Daly.
Hey, what's up, Michael Max?
It's the new year of the metal rat, Xinyan Kuai Le.
Xinyan Kuai Le.
Yeah. You know what that means?
New year, happy phonetic.
New year, happy phonetic. Happy New Year. I have no idea what it means to be a metal rat. I think about like those little toys that we had like long ago as kids, those wind up toys that were, you know, and then you put them on the ground, they like go zzzz. I think I had a metal rat back then.
There you go.
Yeah.
I have to keep reminding myself that a rat is good in Chinese culture.
Yeah, rats are good. Yeah. But how many Chinese people actually love rats?
They freak out. Probably.
Rat? Ooh, a rat! Yeah. But we're not here to talk about rats.
No, we're here to talk about something very serious, Michael. What is it again? Can you remind me of the subject?
I can't remember. It had to do with Chinese medicine. I think it had, Sa'am acupuncture.
Yes.
I remember. We're talking about using Sa'am in a community clinic setting. We've had a couple of conversations about how this method, because in some ways, once you get it dialed in and you can diagnose competently, you can very quickly know what to do. And it uses the antique points. And so it's not like you have to get to anything that's difficult. People can easily be laying in a chair. Seems like this method would be really helpful, but there's some drawbacks, and that's what I wanted to talk with you about today. Do you have experience using this in a community setting? Have you done it this way?
Yeah, you and I were talking about this before. So at my clinic, I had just a regular clinic with 5 rooms, and for 3 2-hour blocks a week, I would open that up. Anyone could come for any diagnosis for just $20. It was just drop-in, so no appointments or anything like that. And so I would just see a lot of patients per hour that way, you know, 6 or so an hour for those 2 hours. So about 12, 10 to 12 in those 2 hours. So it would be going at community clinic pace or so, but with private rooms.
Okay. So you didn't like have them in the waiting room stuck full of needles. You just put them on the table.
Sometimes.
Lay on my desk here.
Yes. One time we had to treat somebody in the laundry room, and I knew that was getting kind of crazy.
Okay. So it's doable. And again, that it's all antique points makes it super helpful in a community setting. One of the things that we talk about a lot with the Sa'am system, though, is that the stuff really has some firepower. It's not a harmonizing treatment. It's not like you can go, I'm going to put these needles. They're going to have a nice little experience. Hopefully things are going to get better. If you do this stuff wrong, you're going to cause problems for people. I did it just myself the other day. And so the diagnosis is really important. And I'm wondering, in a community setting, how to deal with that, how to work with that. And especially if you've got other people around and they're watching someone maybe have a bad reaction, how do you manage that kind of a thing? I think that would be, if I was treating people all in one big room, I'd want to make sure that everyone's feeling comfortable and cool, cool with what's going on.
Yeah, I would just emphasize again what I emphasize over and over again, is to look for the face right away. As soon as you put those needles in, if you can look at the face and see what happens, the face will tell you before there's any kind of major problem going on with the body, and then you can switch it around really quickly.
Ooh, Toby, I want to tell you something. I didn't realize this. I thought this was just a conversation with you and Mia that I'd set it up that way, but apparently people have gotten wind of this. So we actually have some people on the line with us today.
Okay, great.
I didn't mean for that to happen. I thought we were just going to do this by ourselves. But those of you that have jumped on, good for you. You're on it. Welcome. And if you have questions about using Sa'am in a community setting, this is great. You're here. So feel free to type them in or raise your hand and say, I got a question. We'll bring you up. It looks like we jumped in to the deep end here.
Great.
Okay. So you were just saying.
I forgot what I was saying.
We were talking about managing mistreatment.
Oh, yes. I was saying, I've emphasized so many times that if you can look at the face will really guide you right away if something's gone south. So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely risk in group setting like that. If things go poorly for one patient, right, that may kind of poison the pool there. But especially if you catch it early and then switch it, then I think you're in pretty good shape. The thing I really want to emphasize too is that in general, the patients that would come to my community clinic were in much worse health conditions than people that would come to my regular clinic. Mm. So if that holds true for other practitioners, then you want something with some real firepower, because these people are really not feeling well, in general, the community clinic people. So yeah, with everything, when you have a lot of firepower to really help someone, if you get that wrong, it will harm somebody else. But if you can catch it early, then you can switch that around. And I'm like of two minds about this, right? I really want to recommend people use this for community clinic, but also I'm concerned about if you make a mistake in the community clinic setting, that may be a problem. So maybe you and I can, and maybe anyone else who jumps on today can help us figure out a good way to navigate that, something mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah. Well, I've got a couple ideas. You know, looking at the face, of course, is a great way of seeing how people are going with the treatment. I also find, even though I would not call myself very astute with the pulse, I find that I'm good enough at it that if the treatment's not right, I'll often feel the pulse tighten up a bit. And for me, this has been a pretty reliable marker. You know, it's one where if I go back and I check the pulse after putting needles in and it does not feel as good as it did previously, I will, you know, along with looking at the complexion, really consider changing those needles up. I've just seen it enough times. So my suspicion is, however you practice, whatever markers you have as a practitioner, be it abdomen, complexion, pulse, cranial rhythm, if you do that. I mean, we've got lots of different ways of seeing how people are doing. And so if you already have something in your practice that allows you to track how you're doing, then it's probably pretty easy to bring that into the Sa'am work that you do and see how those markers work. That's my suspicion.
Yeah, but definitely. And so especially as something you're really comfortable with doing, you know, like you're saying for with the pulse, you've noticed that you'll check the pulse and then check right after if it's tightened up, then you know maybe something's going south. That would be something reliable about that. And then quick, I'm always trying to think of for community clinic, you got to move pretty quickly too. So that would be looking at the face and checking the pulse. It would just take a few moments. And then you could evaluate, are you on the right track and ready to move on to the next patient or not?
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing that I have found in the maybe year and a half that I've been working with this, especially in the beginning, there were plenty of cases where I'm like, I'm not sure what to do here. And I wouldn't use it. I would do something else. But for those cases where I go, oh, I think I see what's going on here, then I would absolutely use it, because it was a way of testing my diagnosis and my perception. And, you know, you kind of get a feeling sense about, oh, I think I'm seeing this. And so when I would feel comfortable and confident with what I thought I was seeing, then I would use Sa'am. But I wouldn't for other things. And then, of course, as time goes on, you get some more experience. You can see it more often. It'll jump right out at you. And one of the things that you just said about that you were seeing people that were more ill in your community clinic than in your regular, I find when people are really ill, because the imbalances are so dramatic, in some ways it's much easier to see what's going on for them when they're more healthy. And the difference between the counterbalances is smaller, it's harder to see what might be going on. But when they're really ill and it's really out of balance, it can really pop out at you.
Yeah, that's a great point, right? I hadn't thought about that, but now that you mentioned it, yes, for sure. Community clinic is a little, you're moving at a quicker pace, but then if the patient is sicker than your normal patients, you're saying, then yeah, you're right. Then things really will jump out to you. So yeah, that was helpful. Like I told you, I did mix. So I would spend, you know, an hour with a new patient with a regular, and then half hour return patients, and then just a few moments with the community clinic patients. And I think the experience of doing both was really helpful, right? Mm-hmm. Really in depth, and then being able to assess quickly. I think that really, you know, I didn't think about it at the time, but I think that really reinforced my ability to diagnose quickly or really investigate something if I need to. So depending on how quick the community clinic is too, you could probably ask a few more questions especially if you, as you get more and more familiar with the Asylum system, one or two more questions might be able to help you, you know, move in a direction with confidence or not, or move away from an idea. So yeah, look at the face, pulse, tongue, a couple more questions might be really be able to help you to dial in the Asylum diagnosis.
Yeah. Well, and with the Asylum system, there are some very specific questions that we can ask because we're looking at how the organs are related in a different way. And so there's a different line of questioning that can help dial things in quickly, or like you say, rule something out.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's ruling out what it isn't that is often very, very helpful.
Right. And then if you start getting a mixed picture, you could just fall back on whatever modality you're using otherwise. I'm reflecting back on, for me, when I was first learning the system too, I would just fall back onto sort of TCM standard things. When everything really comes together in the SOM system, and then you have a lot of confidence, and then you get really good results, I think that's really reinforcing for you. So, you know, it's not like you would be exclusively doing SOM, especially if you're just learning this. You could always toggle back and forth if something really glares out at you. Say you do see someone with broken arm, wet skin, obese, and things like that. You could jump right away pretty comfortably to supplementing large intestine with something like that. You know, that wouldn't take much exploration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Now, there's some needling that you have to do with SAM that I'm going to say it's a little bit challenging because we're doing a fair amount of Jingwell points. We're doing a lot of these like small joint points, like small intestine 2 and, you know, triple burner 2 and things like this. Spleen 2, that's super fun. You know, I mean, these places where there's like a little bit of flesh, a lot of bone, or, you know, a funny joint kind of thing. I know for me, I had to really game up. It was almost like going back to school to learn how to needle in some ways, because some of the points are challenging as an acupuncturist to do. And for patients, they're a little bit challenging as well, because they're not used to having them needled. And some of them, frankly, are not particularly comfortable. How do you think about, or do you have suggestions for people on transitioning their patients from maybe a very soft, mild kind of thing that they're used to something that might be a little uncomfortable in the beginning?
Right. Yeah. A lot of people have asked me that question, and I don't think there's a good answer for that. I think you just sort of have to kind of jump in and start doing it. And then, you know, a few thousand points in, if it's like, I get much, much better with that. You know, I have a lot more confidence in it. I think my technique's a little bit better too, you know, after several thousand of those Jingwells, right? Several thousand mm-hmm. Jingwells in, I feel like my technique's pretty good now. So I don't know. I try and really reassure the patient and check in right after a Jingwell point, make sure that everything's feeling okay, and discharge that, especially, you know, a lot of the combinations have, you know, two Jingwell points. So after I need a one, then I check in and kind of discharge that, make sure everything's really good, and then put the second one in. Yeah, there's no real good way. You got to just kind of jump in with this, I think.
We just have to be the professionals that we are and
do
what has to be done.
Also, I don't want to cause pain for my patients. I want to help my patients, but you know, sometimes you have to do the thorn to get the fruit, you know?
The thorn to get the fruit. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to start using that in clinic.
Yeah.
You got to have it, you know, get the thorn to get the fruit. And, you know, it's helpful to remind people that whatever is the troublesome thing that they came in with, a moment of discomfort is like nothing compared to how they're going to feel as they get better.
Yeah. And also to build empathy too. I often tell my patients, I'm my own patient. I know exactly what these needles feel like. Mm-hmm. I often say to them, I'm not always on the handle side of these needles, right? So I think that helps, right? You can say, oh, that's a sting and a little throbby, and now that's starting to go away. You know exactly what Jingwell points feel like if you put them in yourself so many times.
Right.
But it's just reassuring to say to the patient, I know exactly what that feels like. I keep doing that to myself just to keep my health up too. And that's what I do for myself. And then I want you to do, you know, I think that's really helpful saying that to patients that, yes, I'm my own patient.
I would agree with that. I find myself saying something to the effect of, oh yeah, I know exactly what that feels like. I did it on myself just the other day. I did this exact treatment on myself just the other day. Right. And then, you know, they're like, oh, you can treat yourself. You would do that? I'm like, oh yeah, all the time. And that can help.
It's, I think that's really reassuring. You know, surgeons can't say that, right? Surgeons can't say, oh, I just do surgery myself all the time or something, right? So
yeah, I took my appendix out just the other day.
Right. So fortunately, we can say that, right? You know, exactly what the sensations I'm causing in you right now, I just did the other day for myself. So I really empathize with that. I think that really brings it together between the clinician and the patient.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's super important.
But I think there's no way of getting around that. Somebody asked me the other day about the Jing-Wells. They heard that the SOM system was all Jing-Wells. So I looked it up, and for the 12 supplementing ones, 20% of the points are Jing-Wells. So it's not like they're all Jing-Wells, but
20%
is. So,
all right.
So that's significant.
You know, I'm so glad to hear you say that, because I remember having a conversation with myself when I first started learning this. And I was looking at the points I'd have to treat. And I did have that thought go through my head. Oh my God, do I want to do this? And then this other voice came in that basically said, you're the professional here. And if you can't do this, you better figure out how to, because you're supposed to know how to do this. I was like, ooh, all right. Whoever that voice is in the back of my head, I'm on board.
That's but a pretty harsh inner dialogue, but yeah.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't call it harsh inner dialogue. I would say it was a part of me that recognized that I had a deficiency in my needling capabilities, and that was actually holding me back from being able to be of more service to my patients. And okay, so it was really about me, like, okay, who's the professional here? Oh, it's me. I'm lacking in an area. I better work on it.
Right. I mean, that's what my teacher would come see patients and like just get amazing results using the system. And especially after the first time he came, you know, I still wasn't really using it. So then I go back to using regular methods, which, you know, wasn't that proficient with. And, you know, it just always nagged at me like, oh, you know, you better start at least trying to approach that level where you can really help people a lot more better than just kind of rearranging things or harmonizing things like that. It really would. I recognize your inner dialogue. I had similar, right? It was always tugging at me like, you could probably help them better if you could just step up your game a little bit. So
yeah, step up our game. And you know, yeah. I mean, we want to do that anyway, don't we? I mean, I think we do.
It's uncomfortable, but yes.
It is uncomfortable. It's definitely uncomfortable. You know, I know for myself, I reach a certain modicum of ability, a certain modicum of self-confidence. And then when I want to go beyond that, I'm back to that learner stage, which means, uh-oh, am I going to be able to get this? Right. You know, I mean, in the beginning, I think it might be a little bit easier because, you know, you don't know anything, but after you've done it for a while and you think you know something, now that gets in the way of learning something new because you think you know it. What about, I know that in community clinics, a lot of times there's a combination of different methods. Balance method is quite commonly used. Certain TCM protocols commonly used. Ear system, different microsystem, that kind of thing. What are your thoughts about using SAAM with the other common microsystems that are used in a community practice?
Yeah, that's tough. I think, you know, if you're working in a community clinic and you feel like completely satisfied with your clinical results, maybe not even take on the SAAM system, right? If you really dialed in everything and you're very pleased about your clinical results, then maybe this is not a time to take on a new system. But if you feel like there's some deficiencies and you feel like you're just not able to treat things as well as you think you should or could or something like that, then I still recommend you take on the system and try and do it exclusively by itself. Later on, it's no problem. You can definitely import things. Like if you feel like some ear protocols or some microsystem protocols are really needed, you know, like you're not getting enough results with a SOM system, I think it's not contraindicated. I think it's just overwhelming for the body. If you do exactly right for the SOM system, usually that's plenty. That's plenty for the system. You don't need to add anything extra. But say you've done something and you're like sure from your confidence with, you know, with the balance method or something like that, just one or two more points from the balance method will really bring this all the way home for you. That's not contraindicated. But definitely when you're learning the SOM system, I'd say try and do that exclusively by itself. And then later on, import anything you feel like you need.
That makes a lot of sense to me, mostly because that mirrors my experience of it. Mm. I tend to be a tinkerer. And so initially I was starting with SAAM and mixing with other things. And I found that I wasn't getting anywhere. I couldn't understand it. Because was it the Sa'am or was it this other thing? Or was it just that I was unclear? Did I muddy the water? I was muddying the water. And I think initially simply using the Sa'am, using it on one side only, so you can be super clear, you'll get very direct feedback if you were on or if you were off about that. And yeah, initially it just keeps it clean. It's like a good scientific experiment.
I'm thinking again too for community clinic too, that that's that was my experience for community clinic, is like, well, you know the volume of patients you're seeing, you've got to really keep going. So just 4 points, just one side, that's pretty efficient also, right? You know, to have a big impact with just 4 points and then move on to the next patient. That's another reason. Anyways, from my own experience, this was very helpful for community clinic, and I'm glad you brought up this topic, because yeah, I think that this could be, like you said, it's got a lot of good qualities. Just 4 points, just below the elbows and knees, so accessible in a community clinic setting. I think the only negative part about this is the learning curve and making mistakes in a community clinic. That maybe is not ideal, but again, if you pay close attention, you can avoid those, you know, continuing those mistakes. You may make a mistake initially, but as long as you can catch it right away, that's no problem.
Right. And that's another reason to simply do it on one side, because then you know what you did. If you got a couple things going on, then you don't know what it was that caused the problem.
Right.
Yeah. But I really like your idea too. I mean, again, I don't work in a community clinic, but I'm thinking if I did, let's see, how long does it take to put in 12 needles? How long does it take to put in 4 needles? Man, 4 needles goes like that.
In the SOM system, you can diagnose really quickly too, right? So it's really efficient. Like I said, ideally, you know, now looking back on it, this was great for me to be, you know, spend an hour with new patients that were regular clinic, and then, gosh, 2 or 3 minutes for community clinic patients, right? I would assess and treat very quickly, even new patients for community clinic, and it seemed to work pretty well. And then having that skill set to be able to toggle back and forth between those two speeds is really helpful.
Yeah,
and then
that makes sense. I was going to say that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Every once in a while for a community clinic too, I could really slow down, or if I had to, you know, a really confusing case and really the patient was really sick, I would really slow down. And then all that other skill set would come up, you know, spend 5, 10, 15 minutes with even the community clinic patient just to dial in exactly the diagnosis. That was really helpful.
And then you come up to the next patient. Oh, they're skinny. They got oily skin. They just
lost
a lot of money in the stock market. And you know that you're going to do the lung channel.
It's great. I mean, it's nice. Yeah. When I talk about when the Venn diagrams really start matching up with the SOM system, right? Then you've got a lot of confidence and you can move forward quickly, right? Sometimes that's a little bit frustrating for regular clinic, because you have a patient that you've immediately diagnosed, but they want to discuss things and go on about things, but you're pretty confident what you're going to do. So
yes, I have that happen a lot.
Yeah. So sometimes that's a little bit, you've already decided what to do, you know, 5 minutes into the consultation, you still got another 10 minutes or so they really want to tell you about something. And the nice thing is, especially if you've really, if you diagnosed totally correctly, everything else that they add on to that just gives you a little bit more evidence as they go further and further. So community clinic, you can assess and treat very quickly and get good results.
Mm-hmm. So what about length of treatment?
Yeah, so 20 to 25 minutes for retention time.
Mm-hmm. And what are your thoughts about overtreatment? Is it something we need to watch out for?
Sorry?
I mean, is it something that you need to watch out for? Like, maybe you get busy in a clinic and it's like, oh, it's 40 minutes before you get back to somebody. Could that be a problem?
It seems okay. It seems okay to do that every once in a while, but I wouldn't try and do that regularly. Especially removing 4 needles is pretty quick too. So if you can just get back in 20 or 25 minutes and remove those 4 needles, it takes just seconds. So, and then also sometimes if you don't do, the same point prescriptions over and over again, you kind of forget where they are, and you know, it's like a lot of mental work. But now it seems like the 4 needles just go in and the 4 needles just go out for me. You know, it's so routine that it takes much less mental effort and then so quick too. I mean, you can take out 4 needles in 10 seconds.
Yeah. Well, I know for myself in the beginning, there was a huge amount of mental effort and, you know, in getting the system to work in my head and not spinning it around the wrong way, and then knowing which points. But, you know, I think it's like anything else. You spend some time with it. You be attentive to it. Check yourself. It's good to check yourself. I find when I'm writing clinic notes, I'll sometimes realize, uh-oh, I put the wrong points in. I'll go back in and change them.
Uh-huh.
But yes, after a while, it becomes very much a second nature thing. Back on the thing of possible over-treatment. So that's like within one day. A lot of times people go to community clinic maybe two or three times a week.
Yeah, with that's
no problem.
That's no problem. But you've got to either remember or write down what points you've been doing, because if you keep doing the same, you know, say that they're overweight with oily skin and you do large intestine, you know, you've got to just kind of keep mental track of that. That was a little bit hard for me for community clinic because I didn't do extensive note taking for that. So you've got to kind of try and remember what you did, because definitely you can treat every day with a SOM system, but you can't just keep hammering the same channel over and over again.
That's right. You want to mix it up. That seems to be something I've heard you say in every class. It's an important element. We have 12 channels. There may be one that really stands out, but you can't keep going at it. You've got to work other aspects of the system.
Yeah. I never thought about this before, but like, you know, like when you go to put on a tire, you know, you can't just crank one whole nut down and then go to the other ones. Have you ever done that? You know?
Yeah. No, I know exactly.
You've got 12. So you got to just go around a little bit and tighten a little bit. You can't just crank on that one, the loosest one. You've got to keep going around the circle and finding things that you need to tighten up.
Right. In fact, yeah, you crank on the loosest one too much, and you're actually going to knock the thing out of balance and not be able to get it back until you loosen that thing up a little bit.
It's a new analogy I just thought of right now, but
yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. Makes a huge amount of sense. Yeah. Well, you know, and it really speaks to how we're dealing with a complete dynamic here. We're not just dealing with one thing. We're dealing with an entire integrated system, you know, where everything touches everything.
Right. And I mean, when you really think about it too, you know, biological systems, you can't just keep doing the same thing over and over again. Biological systems don't like that. You know, they need variety, you know, to have a wholesome response. They need some kind of variety stimulus. So the nice thing about the SOM system is you can just, you know, you're basically going to know what to do, but you have to rotate it around a little bit too, especially if they're coming several times a week, then that's even more serious, right? You wouldn't want to come Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and then Thursday, the same point combination. You would get into trouble quickly, even though you were right? That channel does need to be supplemented, but not with that amount of frequency.
Yeah. I think you're right. Biological systems in general do better with variety. And it helps us as practitioners to be a little more nuanced with our diagnosis. It's like there may be one thing that really stands out, but what are the underlying supporting things that make that one system so out of balance? There's always other pieces of the pie.
Yeah, for even TCM diagnosis, right? They never just say spleen qi deficiency. There's always plus dampness, plus liver qi stagnation. I mean, they're always listing several things that are going on. Or herbal medicine, right? There's always several different strategies that you want to go after. Mm-hmm. So SOM system similar. You know, the top two or three things, and then rotate them around.
Okay. Again, I did not mean to set this up as a public conversation here. I accidentally did. There's a number of people online. If any of you that are online and listening right now, if any of you have any questions or any comments because of experience that you've had with doing the SOM, please type something in here to let us know that you'd like to join in and say something, and we'll bring you up to do that. We'll give you a moment to do that.
This really says something, Michael, to us. We were thinking, I wonder if anyone would have any interest in this topic. And then, this is a good inadvertent way to find out that at least, is it four more people plus us or six people?
It's a total of six, so there's four other people.
Okay, that's great. I mean,
we didn't even advertise this thing. We're just like, we're going to have this conversation and put it up. But all right, got to be careful what you click when you set these things up. How about for people that are maybe new to this, maybe they're new to Sa'am and they're thinking about doing it in the community clinic, or maybe they're just starting to use Sa'am. Are there any common issues that you see in your community clinic? And maybe some simple things that you could tell people about right now. Oh, they've got back pain. Oh, you know, people with headaches. I know that we're not into protocols. I'm not talking about giving us protocols, but could you give us just like a few common things that you see regularly in a community type setting and the kind of treatment that you do for them so that people could take something away from this and maybe start to use it right now?
You were asking the four people or me?
I'm asking you.
Okay.
And then the four people that have just been listening, if they have experience, please chime in.
Yeah, I'm reflecting a lot of experience with the community clinic. And like one of the main things I used in the community clinic was like supplementing small intestine, right? A lot of pain, a lot of stagnation, a lot of things like that. So I did tend to supplement small intestine quite a bit for community clinics. So that's something to think about just from my experience. I saw a lot of pain in community clinic, a lot of serious disease and pain. And serious disease was all kinds of different serious diseases. So I have a hard time recommending, you know, something that really captured all kinds of serious diseases. But maybe number two was pain, and supplementing small intestine is sometimes miraculous for pain. So
yes, it's been amazing.
Yeah, so I would be on the lookout for trying. I don't know. Let me think about the proper way to word this, though. I'll say this. Definitely for my clinic, when I was doing community clinic, I did supplement small intestine a lot for that clinic. I don't know if I want to recommend that too strongly for you. I think you should always be open to all 12 channels supplementing them. But from my experience, definitely I saw that over and over again. I would use a lot of small intestine in community clinic.
I would say in my current clinical practice, if someone has pain, the first thing I'm going to think about is, can I use the small intestine? Right? It's not like, oh, I must use small intestine, but it's like, can I use it? I probably can, but let's hold that and see, are they really damp? Are they really dry? Is there a bunch of qi stagnation, you know, blood deficiency or blood stagnation? Of course, small intestine, great for blood stagnation. But again, it's a good go-to to consider with looking at the underlying issues that they might have, like dampness. Yeah. And then you can toggle between those things.
But especially severe pain, right? That's when small intestine really shines.
And especially if it's along the small intestine or any kind of Taiyang channel. Oof, super good. There's a question in here from Linda. Hi, Linda. What about like treating first responders or people that have fear or PTSD? Right? Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, we think about community clinics being very helpful. You do the NADA protocol, right? People that are in some kind of a disaster situation. How would you think about that with Sa'am? It's a great question.
Yeah. So, hey, Linda. So, yeah, definitely for deep fear, right? Then I would immediately go to see if I could supplement heart to counterbalance that fear. So, I think that's really reasonable. Like we were just saying, for small intestine too, if you feel like everything's stuck from the trauma, and then you really want to move it, then small intestine would be great for that. So that's my two thoughts about that. Supplement hearts, maybe supplement small intestine. So interesting, both fire phase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is interesting. In heart and small intestine, from a traditional TCM point of view, or the yin and yang organs in relationship. I find, I don't do protocols, but I see things show up a lot. And I know that in my practice, I see a lot of digestive issues. Mm-hmm. And so often, it really is those people, they're overweight, they've got that classic spleen qi deficiency presentation, they sweat easily, their skin is moist. And of course, in Sa'am, we think of that as a spleen excess. They're not deficient in spleen energy, they've got too much of it. And tonifying
the large intestine. You just keep repeating that so you can remember it?
Super helpful. Well, because at this point I remember it. But I do have that lovely story of, you're a while ago thinking, oh, this patient is spleen deficient, right? I was thinking TCM. Oh, she's spleen deficient. So I tonified her spleen. Not good. Yeah. Dizzy. I made her dizzy and nauseous. I should have tonified her large intestine.
Yeah.
So you do, when first using this system, have to be clear in your thinking. You can, if you're thinking in TCM, that's fine, but you have to slow yourself down just enough to take it into how do we look at it from the SAM perspective, because then you'll be able to get a clear diagnosis and know what to do. Any other things that you see commonly besides pain that we could maybe share with the listeners here?
Yeah, again, so I think serious diseases, pain. You know, another thing is, you know, just using the SAM system to think about right away too, is if they're coming and give me in clinic, it almost necessitates you might have to think about supplementing lung because they have a resources problem. So the fact that they're coming to community clinic, usually, even if like I had some people that I knew were relatively well off, but they would still try and come to community clinic a little bit. And so that's still, they don't feel like they have enough resources in general, people that go to community clinic. So then you consider supplementing lung. So I would say there's no specific channels to supplement for, you know, serious diseases. You always have to differentiate that, but then small intestine and then lung. I would say that's, I did supplement a lot of lung in community clinic because people either perceived lack of resources or actually did have lack of resources. I have a lot of patients that were just really in desperate financial straits. And so that's always nice to help supplement lung. At mm-hmm. least, you know, we can't give them thousands of dollars, but at least we can calm down that kind of anxiety in that situation.
Let's see, we got one more. Let's see, Linda. I've always wondered why the issue of sadness and grief does not show up as a diagnostic presentation. Am I missing something here? So in the SAM system, it sounds like grief, sadness doesn't necessarily show up as a diagnostic parameter in her mind.
No, definitely. For the SAM system, that's still associated with the lung. I don't emphasize that in the classes because that's just straight up TCM. So in the classes, I really try and recommend, you know, like kind of obscure, unusual things that the SAM system brings to the channels. But everything you've already learned from Chinese medical school, especially that's really based on the classics, you can just incorporate that very easily to the SAM system. So grief and sadness definitely has to do with the lung. And so for this system, we either supplement the lung or supplement the stomach, depending on like the physical presentation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. I love hearing you say this. I've heard you say it so many times, but I don't know, there's like this part of me that forgets or something. This piece about how there's all this stuff that we've already learned and we don't get rid of it. We don't put it to the side. We actually can bring it into the SAM system. It totally fits.
Yeah, that's been my experience. I see Laura's here too. Hey, Laura McGraw.
We got the band back together.
It feels like it, yep.
Yeah, all right. Well, Toby, any other thoughts that you have for us about using SAM in a community style setting?
I'm excited about it. Like I said, just from my own experience, it was so helpful. And then when you were saying, oh, you know, you and I had just been talking about something else and you were saying, oh, what about for a community clinic? And I was saying, oh yeah, we should really definitely put this kind of information out there and inspire people either to open up a small community clinic within their regular clinic, mm-hmm. like I did, or someone who's already in community clinic, if they want to add, you know, one more tool to their work. I think it would match really well for a community clinic.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm looking forward to hearing how people use this. If you're using SAM and if you're using it in a community clinic setting, go to the forum that we have. You can share your thoughts with the other practitioners there. If you're new to SAM or you think that you would like to know more about it, we've got a couple of classes coming up this year. There's going to be in April. We're going to be in Irvington, New York again at the gorgeous, beautiful place by the Hudson River, the Align Center. And then we're going to be in Oakland, California later in the summer in July. And all y'alls that already have been through the class, what are we doing in Geyserville again besides going to that place for dinner?
it's always herbs and food with you, Michael. Yes, we're going to have
red wine.
We're going to be.
Don't forget the red wine.
We're going to be doing a case. That's right. Good thing you'll be in wine country, Michael. You'll be fine. Did you hear in the news about that several thousand gallons winery leak? It was on national news about 2 or 3 days ago.
I did hear about that. I cried.
That was right by my house.
Oh.
Yeah.
So tell us what's going on in Geyserville.
Yes. So Geyserville, we will be doing case studies. We'll be discussing a little bit more like how to combine the channels. We'll be discussing a little bit about draining, and then we'll be discussing about case studies, my case studies, and then we'll have the practitioners prepare some of their case studies too.
Man, I always love hearing about how other practitioners are using it and thinking about it. We just learn so much from each other. It's wonderful.
Yes. I just love this traditional way of learning too, case studies. So I like to do that too.
Great. All right, Toby. Always fun to hang with you, and I look forward to seeing you again soon.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Thanks for joining us.